Welcome to Behind the Curtain, Nashville's mover, shaker,
and tastemaker.
Brought to you by Cord Real Estate, your key to the heart of Nashville. I'm Steve Luther alongside my co-host, Van Hoy.
Here we peel back the layers of Nashville's vibrant scene, sitting down with the innovators, creators, and leaders who shape our city. From music to business and everything in between, we dive into the journeys that have brought them to where they are today.
We're here to uncover the stories behind the success, the passion driving their pursuits, and why they've chosen Nashville as their stage. It's about the people who dream big, push boundaries, and make this city truly unique.
So join us as we explore the heart and soul of Nashville through the eyes of those who know it best.
So today we're joined by Dr. Jason Holm, the charismatic and innovative CEO of Active Spine and Joint Center. Known for his expertise in chiropractic care and sports medicine, Dr. Holm is also a distinguished speaker and educator in functional movement systems. And with his unique blend of professional knowledge and a great sense of humor, Dr. Holm brings a dynamic perspective to health and wellness. Well, Jason, as the CEO of Active Spine and Joint Center, what innovative approaches and techniques have you implemented into patient care?
Oh, man. I think you really have to start with, where do you really want this conversation to go? Because what's our time limit? Because we could go on about that for about 2 hours.
I mean, we could just talk about all the stuff you did with me.
I was going to say, the way you asked that question,
it sounded
like neither of us have ever been there. And he's like,
I died.
You and Rachel Zoe. But it's as if he hasn't like totally changed both of our lives, which he has.
Man, I don't even know where to start. So I think we have to start with this profession a little bit and just say this profession goes back quite a ways. You know, the early 1900s is when this profession started. So chiropractic as a whole, relatively new profession. But, you know, the foundation was based around the nervous system and doing exams around the nervous system, how we can get the body to function most optimally. You know, in 1900s, early like 1904, 1905, healthcare as a whole was kind of on rocky ground, right? Bloodletting was still going on for the medical profession. And there were lots of errors that were happening in healthcare. And so there was this big need for a more natural approach of how do we just optimize the body as a whole? And so that's basically how this foundation started. And so over the years, it's obviously evolved dramatically into how can we optimize the nervous system, the full body as a whole, to tap into the body's ability to heal and strengthen and to, you know, alleviate pain in as many natural ways as possible. And so, you know, if we go back 1930s, one of the founders of the profession was a guy named B.J. Palmer, and some very famous photos. If you see his facility, what's amazing from the gym perspective is it looks like a modern day CrossFit gym. It's beautiful. There's one of the first rowers there. There's, some unbelievable equipment that he was designing for shoulder mobility, shoulder strength. It's an absolutely phenomenal facility. And one of the principles of that gym back then and that rehab facility was that no matter what you do, no matter what the exam is with the patient, at the end of the day, the patient has to be reliable for building and fixing the area of their body that has long been in disuse. So what have they not been optimized? What's that weak link or that missing perspective? And so our job is basically, just, if you go back into the 30s and you look at now modern medicine, where the science is at, you basically take that and just amplify it with a lot more evidence as to why that's the most valuable thing. So our job is really boils down to in the healthcare world is to evaluate the patient and find out which areas are taking a break and which areas are doing all the work. And most of the time, what you find out, very much just like when you have three people in a group and two are on their cell phone the whole time, there's one doing the rest of the work. Who's upset, griping to their spouse that evening? It's always the one that did all the work, right? The body's very similar. So the area that's griping typically is doing carrying too much of the load, and we've got to wake up those other parts. And so what we were able to envision with our business and find out how to systematically design was this idea that we can put on video the most thorough exam that there is to find out which areas aren't doing their job the most efficiently and how can we bring that back as quickly as possible. So how can we get to the root cause of the issue that's leading to so much of their discomfort quickly? And so that's what we pioneered, was taking this exam. You'd mentioned it earlier, but it's that functional movement systems exam, which is where a very large group of researchers and providers came together and said, how can we put this together in a systematic way that can be reproduced, as opposed to there just being several gurus in the country that do a great job? How can everyone level up in healthcare? And so that's been their mission, is to find what can that high level exam be, so we can trust other providers to refer to across the country to take care of our patients.
So you're talking about the video that you do in the initial review when a patient comes in.
Exactly. Yep. So we're most well known for being the first to put that on video consistently. And we have the most recorded videos, you know, in the country on that exam.
So since we both acknowledge that we've been his patient.
Yeah. Are we not violating nothing. Any HIPAA?
I haven't signed any papers.
I can say whatever you want.
So I have to be honest. I had no idea that's what you were doing. I thought you did that so you didn't have to be in the room. I had no concept.
Fantastic.
I thought you were so busy that like you didn't want to be in there. You had somebody else videoing me. So when you got around to it, you had patients stacked up in different exam rooms. I honestly have always thought the reason they were videoing me was that you were too busy. And so you couldn't be in there.
Let's not mistake. It increases efficiency exponentially. Right. So we can help way more people.
But I had no idea there was standing there doing the recording.
Oh, absolutely. It's way more
efficient. I literally thought, oh, he's just so slammed. He's got somebody taking video so he could quickly glance on, you know, speed it up and he can jump in.
There's a precision, a percentage there of efficiency to it, but we can measure on the screen real efficiently, real quickly.
Wow.
And we can then say that we're working with, you know, we commonly are referred to by other leading healthcare providers in our region. And so those individuals, when they refer in, I can send them back an exam real quickly, video, like, hey, here's what we're seeing and here's how they're improving. And it just speeds up that doctor to doctor communication. So it really goes a long way.
I've already learned something today.
Now I'm kind of curious. One of my other doctors, mentioned, there's a certain kind of, I believe it's like a heart scan that they do that now has this AI overlay where it will go in and sort of read the results.
Absolutely.
And you end up seeing a lot more than someone with human eyes.
For sure.
See sometimes. Are you seeing that coming to what you're doing? Like where AI is going to review this video and like say, absolutely, hey, check this out and this out and this out.
Yeah. So for the last 3 months, we've been helping evaluate that exact thing.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been doing that.
What do you think?
Some huge positives, and there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
See, with the human body, it's really tough because a lot of the things we're looking for are not only how well do the muscles work or the, you know, the big movements like our hips, shoulders, et cetera. But there's, when it comes to the spine, there's a whole lot of vertebrae and you can't see those, right? Because we have skin, we have muscles, they're deep. So what happens is for AI on some of these measurements, they really can't tell, are we getting a ton of movement from many of these joints or is it just one big hinge at one area, right? Mm-hmm. So it's struggling with some of the measurements, like how are we going to figure that out? And hopefully there's people way smarter than I am. They're going to figure that out. But for a heck of a lot of the movements, we've already got it. It's incredible how efficient that is. But unfortunately for us, with how efficient our systems are at our office, it would make everything worse quality wise if we were to jump ship to that now, because it misses two or three of the really big measurements. It's not quite there yet, but man, they're coming in a hurry. It's really cool.
What inspired you to take this approach versus the kind of chiropractic I grew up with as a kid, where you go in, get your neck popped, come back.
It was almost a glorified masseuse is what I had always thought of chiropractic as, you know, someone's going to come in and just give you a little rub down. And,
well,
you
know, I don't know what kind of chiropractic you're going to. I mean, when I was a kid, I had a whiplash situation and I ended up going to the chiropractors, my buddy's dad. And I went into the clinic and he popped my neck and it was crazy and dramatic. And, you know, and I wore a neck brace to school for a few days and then I came back for another pop and everything was fine. You know, I mean, it was.
Yeah.
And then they get you in. Okay, here's your plan. We're going to pop you every so many weeks. And
sure.
And, but I, when we met you, it was all different. I didn't, nobody popped my neck for years.
Sure.
At your place.
Sure.
It was totally different experience. It felt like going to a doctor's office. Like I was getting physical therapy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not, go get my neck popped.
Exactly. And so that's just that more holistic.
Not that there's anything wrong. I don't know anything. I'm not medical. I come from real estate and music and design.
Yeah, I think that's where it goes, the evolution of the
profession. Yeah, but what inspired you to take such a different approach?
Man, mine was pretty straightforward. What got me attracted to this profession was a really unimpressive story. So I was in a karate tournament.
Unimpress us, will you?
Yeah, I can't wait. And in the 90s, I was in a karate tournament, and it was the black belt division, and I was supposed to win. And I was very arrogant that day. And I actually had my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, there. I was really going to impress her.
Yeah.
So I was trying off some new moves, and I had my hands down. And this, since I was the number one rank coming into it, I get to draw a random card, basically, of who I'm going to fight in that match. Mm. And so it's always somebody, not always, but you expect them to not be ranked. They're probably not going to be extremely talented. So if you were going to be a turd, that's the time to, right, you know, show out or whatever. Well, I definitely did that, and that definitely was not the time. And this guy caught me with a punch so hard in my ribs. I had never had a broken rib, but I was positive that's what that was. And I was done. I don't even remember the rest of the tournament. It was double elimination. I don't remember the second fight. I was in miserable pain, and I lost pretty embarrassingly. Well, then we went back to my primary care in Hendersonville, who recently just retired, Nell Nestor. And I saw Nell, and I was like, I think my ribs are broke. And she did an exam, and I don't even remember it. I was 10, wow, 15. And she said, well, it's not broken. You'll be fine. Just give it 3 to 6 weeks and you'll be fine. And that was just not acceptable. I was a bad asthmatic. I couldn't breathe. I felt horrible. Mm. I couldn't go teach in class. It was just a really rough time on me emotionally more than anything. Like I couldn't do what I identified with being great at. And so anyway, my mom got tired of seeing me mope around the house and feel miserable about 3 days in. She said, look, I'm going to the chiropractor. You need to come too. I said, I have no idea what that is. And so she takes me to the chiropractor. He evaluates and he goes, no, I think I know what's going on. He adjusts me and instantly I could take a deep breath in again. And wow. I go, that's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
That was the whole story. I knew nothing else about the profession. I knew my one experience. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't turn. I couldn't teach.
Right.
I got adjusted and go, oh my gosh, like whatever this is, you go there, you hurt, you go there once and you're amazing.
What were you teaching?
So I was teaching karate. Oh, so I was teaching the classes. So my karate instructor at the time was also a pro volleyball player. So he would travel around. So I would teach class when he was gone. Wow. And so that was kind of my show to get to lead the way. And so we had a lot of fun with that. And as soon as I had that experience, I literally went home that night and I go, mom, I want to be a chiropractor. And she goes, that would be awesome. And I go, well, that's all you need to hear. So mom said, do it. So I'm doing it. And that was it. And that's all I knew until I got into the school.
So then what in school clicked your antenna that I'm going to not just pop necks, I'm going to go this whole other route of wellness.
Sure. Yeah. So I got into it thinking my whole goal was, one, I was upset that Nell did not refer me to a chiro because it was one visit. So I was upset about that. And two, I knew that this helped me incredibly with my sport right away and that this has got to be able to help others. And it just drove me crazy that that wasn't happening in our community. Mm. So I literally had two missions. It was to integrate really well with the medical community, come back and help our athletes. And whatever it takes to do that the best, I'm going to do. And so when I got into school, it became a lot more about that traditional adjustment and evaluation. And the chiropractic history part I thought was super cool, but I didn't see how that was going to line up with actually great results from getting athletes back. And that when we looked at the history back in the 30s, what were they doing? They were working the daylights out of these people. Yes, they would adjust the area that wasn't moving well, but what would they do? They'd fix the strength issues that they didn't have, or whatever their injury was, they would rehab it very aggressively and progressively for the 30s, which is a lot of the techniques they were doing. It's literally what the science now proves out time and time again is awesome. So that's really what it was all about.
Yeah, we don't ever come to you and you pop my neck and hand me a pill and send me on my way.
That does not occur.
I get abused afterwards.
Well, we're going to make you work, right? I mean, it's simple and plain. Like the body has to adapt. And if you don't give it the right stimulus, it has nothing to respond to. And so much of the time, there's something that we can tap into to get the body to self-correct.
And you mentioned, you know, wanting to make an impact on sports. And I know, you know, you can't say who you work with or anything like that, but I do know a big part of your business is not just, you know, helping people that have pain that they're dealing with, but it's also working with athletes to perform
sure.
at their optimum level. Can you talk a little bit about how that aspect of your business works?
For sure. I think when it comes to pro athletes, because we see athletes of all ages, young athletes all the way to professional level in many, many sports. And several of those do come because they know I'm an instructor for that organization we talked about. That is one way that they find us, but also word of mouth referrals from those other athletes. And so when they come in, a lot of times, you know, athletes throughout the season do get beat up. You know, that does happen. So they're still, they need to recover from some injury. So typically when they come in, we're trying to see, basically there's four pillars that really matter to an athlete's health. First, it's what area actually needs healing. Like what's the actual injury that they're dealing with? Could it be some small things from the season, could be bigger things. So we got to find out what they're actually injured with. We then have to find out what are the strength things that we can help them with right now that's going to benefit them when they get back. We also have to find out what coordination things maybe have they lost because of those injuries. And then what mobility things have they lost? Like what's tightened up, what's stiffened up that normally wasn't that bad, but this season took a toll on them. And so we do a thorough evaluation of that entire puzzle. We've got to figure out all four pillars and find out which pillar matters the most to this athlete now to be ready when they need to be their best when they get back. And depending on the sport, that demand changes. But one of the biggest things with the athletes, it's all about, I need that athlete to be more of who they are more of the time when they're on the court, right? Like we had one professional athlete that comes to mind. One of the situations that was tough is that they just felt that they were coming off an injury and that their legs were just getting so fatigued in the season. Well, our job getting them back next season is make sure their legs don't get tired at all that season. That can't be what's holding them back, because that's going to have huge implications on their future contracts, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So our job is to find out, how do we make them more of who they are more of that time? And that's what my mentors have taught me. And so that is our objective, is to help just share that message and to spend that time with them and really find out what are our paths, what can we do, and then how do we maximize that?
You're not just doing that here in Nashville. You're speaking and instructing other physicians all around the country.
Well, we're in convention season now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of travel. I think I'm here in town four out of the next 13 weekends. Either I'm at the national board helping write the test exams, or right. I'm at big conferences helping teach. And then there's a couple in there that I'm actually attending because some important speakers are there. I've got some important meetings.
Local boy done good.
We're doing our best.
Yeah.
It's trying to help the best we can.
Incredible.
Trying to help.
Now the private consulting that you do, the public speaking you do, how has that impacted your approach to education, to patient care, how you run your business? What impact has that had?
Yeah, I think it's had a ginormous impact. I mean, I think the it all really comes back to that issue that, you know, when we came back, we really had that one mission, which was to help as many people in our community as possible. And how can Active Spine and Joint Center be a part of that? So that was what it really started as. And then what we found real quick is it's really hard to refer to people across the country. And we have so many patients ask, like, hey, who do you have in Birmingham? Who do you have here? And we need to have that name for them. And unless they've fit a certain type of pedigree and we've known they've went through certain training, it's hard to really have that confidence unless you know them personally and have worked with them, et cetera. And so what we found really quickly is that the more that we can help spread the message of like, hey, here is our philosophy. We're very open about that. Here is how we go about our approach. Here's how we combine all the science from these experts. Here's how our business, Active Spine and Joint Center, Hendersonville, Tennessee, does this, right? Here's how we recommend you implement it. That we see clinics pop up all over now implementing those methods. And so I was fortunate to be able, by one of my biggest mentors, one of the top PTs in the world named Greg Cook, asked me to help write a book during the pandemic called The Business of Movement. And so we were highlighted in there from the medical side of how do you actually do this? Because what happens is it's extremely hard to make this actually work as a functional business because it is so time intensive, right, like you experienced. It's time intensive to do this the right way. It's way the heck easier to make your business just one thing,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
Well, and you have to have a bigger facility.
You need a bigger
facility. You've got a whole workout space.
Yeah, absolutely.
That has to be available for lots of patients at one time.
So now with modern day, y'all are way better experts at this than I am. But, you know, when I talk about the business side, what does that come back to? That comes back to my wife, Cassie Holm, saying, all right, you have no idea how to actually do this. So let's figure it out and put it on paper, because I knew what I wanted, but I had no idea how to pull that off.
Wow.
And so her vision and her expertise is to be able to be that long, slow, deep thinker on how are we actually going to make the business work. We just have to paint the vision appropriately, and she's going to find a way. And that's been something she's been amazing at forever. Mm-hmm. And one of her things at 5 years into practice, because our contract was coming up, we were Bluegrass Commons.
Right.
And at 5 years in, she's like, we got to get out of here. This is way too small. And I said, okay, well, what are we going to do next? And I was like, well, let's look for other places to rent, because we go on that story forever. But my whole life was, I was ready to rent my whole life. I wanted to stay in an apartment forever. Right. I didn't want to own a building, of those things.
Yeah.
And Cassie said, no, you know, because Steve was doing the talk way back. I mean, I was 4 years into practice, and Steve was doing a talk on a weekend. Ashley was there and said, I was like, yeah, let's just go to this thing. Cause Cassie wanted to go. So I was like, okay, I'll go. And I didn't understand that the ulterior motive was Cassie was like, you have to convince him to buy a house, and you have to convince him that, you know, we need a building. And I was like, yeah, we're not doing that. And they obviously won that argument very abruptly, that like, you're making a lot of mistakes here.
Steve and I assume Cassie win a lot of arguments.
Yeah. But that was a huge instrumental moment, was to get the house when we were not comfortable doing that.
Right.
I mean, that was a huge outside my comfort zone. I didn't feel good about that at all.
It was a great house.
Oh, it was a great house. It was way outside. We just got very fortunate with how that whole thing went down, and Steve and Ashley's help with that. That was crazy. Mm. But once we got the house, and then we later were like, all right, we had the house. We had a year or so to figure it out. And then it was, do we buy this business? And what made sense was the square footage of the building made a ton of sense. Right. The layout made no sense.
Right.
And then again, Cassie back at the drawing board, talk to Ashley. And if you get them two together long enough, they're going to come back with, this is what we're doing.
Right.
And I was extremely uncomfortable, but that was what we were going to do. And man, it worked out the most beautiful thing that could ever happen to us. I mean, we wouldn't have any of the influence that we have if it wasn't for taking that risk, getting the way bigger space, and then be able to actually build out the vision for the business. It all really came from that.
Yeah. Well, long term, I think owning the building has had a huge impact, because the way rents have gone up, just even over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, you'd be in a much different
situation. It would not be good. It would not be good. So it was a game changer. I mean, literally the ultimate game changer was the...
Look at you bringing this back to real estate. Impressive.
We can do 2 hours on that.
Yeah.
Just how that all went.
And nobody wants to watch that. You mentioned the board. That's the Tennessee Board of
Examiners. Yep, of chiropractic examiners. So there's the Board of Medical Examiners. There's a board for every healthcare profession. And so yes, I do sit on the Tennessee Board of Chiropractic Examiners.
Now, has that influenced your opinion or perspective on regulations and chiropractic in general?
Actually, dramatically, I'll tell you something about that I never knew where this would go. I knew it was a huge honor for the governor to appoint me to that position. I knew that was awesome. And that was just an unbelievable honor in my profession to be able to help represent the profession and, you know, protect the public to make sure that all providers are staying on the top of understanding, you know, the best guidelines. And here's what our laws are. Here's what our statutes are, you know, how to implement that. But what's really amazing that I didn't know is when I got on the board is that if you look at our profession as a whole, we have what is called a national board of examiners. And that national board is who writes the exams for you to graduate to get a license. Mm. And so what I didn't understand when I got on the board was that each board in every state has agreed to allow the national board to have the power to write this exam. Well, because of that, each board gets to appoint someone to help write those exams. And I've been very fortunate to be the one that's been appointed to that several times. Wow. So I've helped rewrite our physical therapy board inside of our board. I've been able to help write our clinical boards. And I've done that many times. I'm going again here in March. And it is one of the greatest honors to be able to help update the research on that and make sure we're giving the best quality exam to have the most competent providers coming out of school and to be able to push that exam forward, you know, to include more of the latest evidence. And that's been unbelievable. And without being a sitting board member, I would have never had that opportunity to work so closely with the board for several years now.
Cool. Now you've also brought in, but I guess it's a lot of people would consider like alternative things as well. Like you've kind of mixed in elements of like acupuncture and things like that.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, what do you want to know?
The same thing as needling.
So medical acupuncture is different than dry needling.
Okay.
But we do perform both. In full disclosure, I got my diplomate in medical acupuncture so that I could dry needle. So dry needling now, no longer. Again, I'm old enough now where I can say I was before that was a rule that chiropractors could dry needle. You had to have your medical acupuncture license.
Okay.
So I sought that because when I got exposed to dry needling for the first time was that mentor that I spoke about that wrote that book and asked me to help do the medical section in recently. We were at Duke University actually for a big summit. And he presented a case of someone that I would have for sure thought was a low back nerve pain case. And when he got done with the exam, what he showed was that actually what was happening with that individual was an issue with the muscle deep in the hip. Hmm. And he placed two needles in the hip. And this individual had had a hip replacement previously, but pain was going all the way down their leg. They were miserable. And he couldn't bend past his knees. And after two needles in his hip, he stood up, buried a toe touch.
Wow.
And when that happened, I go, I've got to figure out how to do that. That's a modality that I have not had in my practice. I've got to figure that out. And the only way was to do 350 hours of training in medical acupuncture. So that's why I went down the path of medical acupuncture. And I still do practice medical acupuncture. And that's mainly for our patients that are referred in from the VA system. So they get referred for medical acupuncture quite frequently, and we can use that modality in a similar way as dry needling. But basically the approach that I am most trained in and feel the most expert in to be able to speak about is by treating the areas of the body that are related to nerve pain or muscle pain and to help them move better quickly. Mm-hmm. As it goes to the Eastern medicine approaches, that is not my expertise. So I can't
speak to those too great. I don't think he's ever done acupuncture on me, but I know I've had the needles.
Right.
I don't think it was acupuncture.
Exactly. So from the medical acupuncture standpoint, there are points and dry needling technique is encompassed in medical acupuncture.
Yeah.
But that gets into a whole political rabbit hole that I'd rather not get too far into because I probably don't know it the best.
I'd have been like, ooh, wow.
I will say for me, it's straightforward. I am licensed for both, so we can handle it from that perspective. But I end up referring out if someone is looking for that Eastern medicine approach. Right. We would refer out to somebody that's an expert in that specifically, if that makes sense.
Now you've also got another machine. It's like a deep tissue. What is that thing you just got? That was some crazy thing that.
Yeah, the Focus Shockwave machine.
Yeah.
That's amazing, man. That's amazing. I could talk about that forever. Okay, so Focus Shockwave is one of the coolest technologies to come out in a long time.
Is this new?
This is new. Okay. So have you ever heard of lithotripsy before? Have you ever heard of anybody with a kidney stone that has to go get it broken up in the hospital?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right, so they have this machine, it's a lithotripsy machine. And what it does is they would put it over the kidney stone. They would sedate the patient. And then what they would do is they would use sound waves that break the sound barrier, and then they smack into the stone and they break up the stone with sound waves. Lithotripsy has been in medicine now for quite some time, and it's very successful modality, but it needs sedation. Well, not until recently have they figured this out for orthopedics. And so the same machine, but powered for orthopedics. So it's not as strong. You can't get up to the sedation level. Obviously it's not FDA cleared for that, but it's FDA cleared for especially for like plantar fasciitis, tendon issues. Anything where you point to and you're like, oh, it's this spot that gets me, right? Mm. That's typically what it's used for the best. And it is unbelievable for so many cases that we couldn't treat super great before, meaning it would take months and months to get them better. Now in weeks, they're dramatically better. I mean, dramatically better. It activates healing at a rate of something that we've never seen for these tendon related issues.
So you just and put it on awesome. The tendon and you shoot it.
It's awesome.
And it does it.
It's awesome, man. So what it does is it uses acoustic waves. So it's pressure waves. But what it does is so amazing is we have certain cells in our tendons that respond to these pressure waves. And they act like an injury actually occurred when it didn't. So there's no damage to the tissue, but it stimulates the healing effect as if it were just damage. So you get a big healing response, like stem cells rushing to an area to heal after a bad trauma, but no trauma occurred. And the other cool part about it is it's extremely diagnostic as well, because if you don't have an area of big, like a tendon issue like that, then you can turn the machine up all the way and you feel nothing. So when you get over the area, if you're like, oh, that's achy, that's my pain, you know immediately what power, there's 16 settings. Well, where are we at on that? Mm. And we can know right away, like, all right, I can tell you basically it's going to take about this many visits and you're going to feel dramatically different. And so it's been one of the coolest things that we've had in sports.
Athletes must love it.
Oh, it's incredible. That's incredible. Nuts. Absolutely incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. Now you kind of blow my mind every time we ask you about some random thing, you've like almost always researched it. How much time do you spend like just researching stuff and learning what's coming down the pike, new stuff?
Sure.
Staying, you know, cutting edge. Cause it seems like you always know what weird random stuff we're bringing up.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think it comes back to, the easy answer is a lot. It's well over 10 hours a week and it has been pretty much forever, but you know, everybody has that drive that keeps them going. You know, how do you get your dopamine hit? You know, but for me, I don't know why, but that's always been an unbelievable dopamine hit. So just to rip through the latest studies coming out on the topic, or what are the more innovative approaches, and going to these conferences is helpful too, because you really get to see the experts in each individual field or specialty. Like you'll see the experts on Shockwave right now and you'll get to talk to them, and then you can pull the independent studies. And then now with AI, you can break through paper so much faster to pull out pieces. And so you can really make this more efficient. But that's just been something to me. I don't know how you explain that. Like some people like working on cars, you will never see me do that. Yeah. I will never do that. Like not even a minute.
Yeah.
Not
I don't get it at all.
I would have no joy.
My son, who wants to be a dentist, had us get him an old diesel so he could work on it. I'm like, How does that have anything to do with dentistry or this family?
He once said he would never own a home too, though. So, you know.
Oh,
yeah. Never. No.
I'm with you on the cars, though.
There's no way. Okay. I get zero joy. But then you see my grandfather, he would tinker with something, rebuild a Jeep. He would do all these things. Yeah. I'm like, man, one day I'm going to love that. That never happened. Yeah. That never happened.
They want to know how it works.
Yeah. I got nothing. But when it comes to the medical side, it has to do with movement, pain, tendons.
The guy who asked you this question is like Mr. Research and all things real estate and technology. And
I spend a little time on it too.
Guess how often I look at that?
It's unbelievable.
Never. Like my knowledge base is extremely narrow, but very deep in a couple subjects.
Yeah.
And that's all I got for you. So I can go on those forever.
Awesome.
Get me on anything else. I mean, how many times have I called you about the dumbest thing? I mean, I don't know the simplest things about how to like fix my house or whatever. I mean, it's miserable. I used to call y'all like miserable times a day, being like, Steve, help me.
Maybe that's what I'm doing. Call him enough.
Oh,
I should call him more.
Oh, that was
I just call, pay for it.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. So all this research and stuff that you do, what do you see coming down the pike? You know, new stuff that's, you know, potentially game changer that we don't know about yet. What's
Ooh, like sound waves.
Yeah, it's getting harder, you know, like the science is catching up. We're getting so good at optimizing the body.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just look at pro athletes now, like the careers of NBA athletes versus 20 years ago, it's dramatic. I mean, the ways we're able to just lean in and optimize the things that we already know. I think that's where this next 10 years really starts seeing people, it becoming trendy to do what the science has been telling us for over a decade, where we are really learning to optimize every aspect of our life. I mean, this, the biggest trend that's really exploded this last probably 5 years is that it's no longer this taboo thing to strength train, right? Lifting weights. It's, we're finally killing this idea that, oh, if I pick up heavy things, I'm going to be so big of a bodybuilder, I won't fit through a door, right? Like, that is such a fallacy. It is so impossible to put on that level of muscle without unbelievable dedication, a certain age profile, and a certain blood profile. Like, it is extremely tough to do that. Most can't possibly eat enough protein to, and train that hard. They have lives and families, and they want to see either one of those actually successfully occur.
Right.
But these things still live out there. You'll hear them all the time. They'll be scared to lift weights because they're going to be too big or this or that. And the reality is that's not how the body works at all. And so what's been great, you know, if there's been one pro of this, you know, Instagram era, TikTok era, is that it's really made it more popular that, oh, I can go strength train and I just look more how I want to look and how I feel. But it's optimizing you at the deepest levels to prevent disease. The most important thing is lean muscle is the most important thing for us as humans, to prevent all levels of disease, metabolic profiles, et cetera. So I think that's what we're going to keep seeing that trend of, that it's going to be so popular to take your health serious because it's the one thing you can't just buy, right? You have to earn that health. You have to pick up that weight. You have to put on that heavy backpack and go ruck with it. That's what we're going to see, is that that currency is going to explode so heavy this next decade that that's going to be where things start to fall. Like, we're going to start seeing that explode more and more, that that's going to be the trend, is to actually take control of your health and actually do the thing. And, you know, rinse, do every day. You got to get up and you got to put it in work.
Yeah. I've heard it.
Every day. Gravity is undefeated.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to take this a little less serious here.
Okay. Do that. Do that. Because we're getting real serious and about to start talking about working out.
Yeah. As soon as I have to get on roasting Steve about where he needs to go with this.
You brought up TikTok. So, you know, I've seen a lot of chiropractic videos on TikTok.
There we go.
This is so bad. I already don't like this.
One of the funniest things to me on TikTok is watching the chiropractors that are, you know, cracking the backs and stuff, and the patients are like uncontrollably farting.
Oh. Okay.
I don't want to violate any HIPAA rules or anything, so no names or anything, but what's like some of the funniest stuff that, that you've had happen?
In the office?
In the office, yeah.
Oh, man. I don't even know. We have at least 5 hysterically laughing moments a day, so I don't even know what would go down as funniest. I don't even know. Give me a better category. I don't know.
I had a funny moment at his office.
Oh, do tell.
I did. You may not even know about this.
I don't know.
So after my spinal cord injury, I lost the use of the right side of my body for a few months.
Yep.
He helped me get it back.
Right.
And I couldn't even use my right arm at all. So my hand was all pulled in and I couldn't even pick up a piece of paper. So I would go in and they would strap these little rubber band things onto my fingers. And you'd put me on a table, right? And I'm surrounded by all these athletes. You got all different ages. Like he said, some are pro, all different level of athletes. And I'm sitting there. I'm laid out flat on this table in the middle of all these athletes who are, they're pumping iron and they're grunting, right? And here I am laid flat. Now, I'm doing nothing but like working my little finger. So I'm not dressed in shorts or whatever like the rest of them. I'm like dressed up. I came from the office and I'm wearing some loud, flashy flowered shirt and I had bright yellow shoes on and I'm laid out on this table surrounded by athletes and they're you know, they're grunting and I'm lying there and all I'm doing is finger exercises like this and I'm literally just doing this and as all of a sudden I just realized how silly this must look, you know, because then I'm listening to the grunting, okay? So and I just started to laugh. But the thing about these tables is it gives you no movement, right? So I'm laid out flat. Now I was 100 pounds heavier than I am now. So I had quite the stomach. And I'm laid out in my flowered shirt with my giant stomach, hearing all the grunting, and I'm doing this, and I'm like seeing them out of the side of my eyes, and they're looking at me, and I start to laugh. Now, when I started to laugh, my stomach started to bounce, which made me laugh harder, which then I tried to not laugh out loud because I thought, okay, now I look like I'm some crazy person hysterically laughing, bouncing on a table with my fingers doing this while they're all grunting. And so I start crying. Like I have tears pouring out the sides of my eyes because I'm laid out on my back. And I'm trying to hold the laughter in. And then all of a sudden I realized I'm becoming a spectacle. And they're starting to look. Now I've got all these guys and they're starting to realize because I'm literally laughter bouncing on this table, trying not to laugh. And I'm starting to look like a complete lunatic. And all of a sudden, I realized they've all stopped and they're looking at me like, oh my gosh. And I summoned my inner Chris Farley and I yelled out at the top of my lungs in your gym, Batman in a flower shirt, do finger exercises.
You're impossible.
They lost it. The whole room erupted in laughter. And dude's like, man, I'd trade you. And I said, no, you wouldn't. Because I can't feel certain things that you couldn't live without.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my gosh, it was a nightmare. But it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. I went from finger exercises to everything else. And now I can, do my thing.
I know. And you picked up some heavy stuff too.
Eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I think that's the key thing. Laughter is obviously attractive, no matter what, at any time.
It attracts some attention.
It will do that. It will do that. But that is one of the things that we love about the culture at the office, though, is that, we have three different sections. So we have the very medical front of the clinic. Then we have the upstairs in the back, which is the bright colors, the more easy introduction into movement. And then we have the downstairs where the heavy fun stuff is.
Yeah, I don't like to go downstairs.
And I understand. I'm aware. I was present there, man. I was there. So, but the key thing is that our goal with everyone, no matter the age, like for example, today we had somebody in that he's 78. He had a lumbar fusion at five different levels. And now he's to the point where we had him being able to lift 70 pounds off the ground.
Wow.
And that's a huge feat for him that he hasn't been able to do in quite some time. And he did absolutely fantastic with it. But in his healing journey, that's where he's at. And for a long time, unfortunately, he was upstairs, right, in that rehabilitation because he lost all leg function and it was a really tough go for him. But the difference is that we have that. Our ulterior motive is to move everyone from the front to the upstairs, to the downstairs.
Right.
And so whether they know that or not, our goal is to get them there, whether they know it or not.
And they leave you in the downstairs. When they're upstairs, they're still with you, helping you out. But downstairs, you're left to your own devices.
Yeah. So if you look at like the true culture and the thing we don't want people to know, but we kind of want them to figure out.
Yeah.
Is that our goal is that exact thing. The secret sauce that we figured out is
then
that
you're out the door. You don't hook us in and then keep us forever.
Exactly.
That's a blue mind.
That's the beauty. So the whole thing is get you downstairs, get you learning that strength training is safe. It's healthy. Right. It's going to make you feel better. You're going to feel a heck of a lot better. But then we've got to start you on lift and we got to leave for a while.
Yeah.
And then now we got to come back in, check on, see how you're doing.
Do you have cameras? What happens? Can you see us down there?
Do not.
I always wondered if there were hidden cameras. I was like, I would look. I would really look.
Yeah, that would be helpful. But we don't. So
I always assumed you did.
We're down there. We're with you. We leave you. Come back.
Right.
See what now weird techniques you created on your own. Fix those.
Yeah.
But that's how true learning occurs. If we're there babysitting the whole time, we unfortunately on accident build dependence. And now you have to have somebody there with you all times, or you have no chance of pulling this off on your own. So when we're pulling the reins back and stopping our control, and we want you to be addicted to how good you feel, like, oh my gosh, I couldn't do that. Now I can do that.
Right.
When we've got that piece going, we have to leave you and let you be there for a while to realize I can do this at workout anytime for $10 a month now. Like what I'm doing now, I couldn't do what I was doing for that first 2 months.
Yeah.
But now this part, well, I can do this part. And that switch is what we're trying. Brainwash is probably not the right word, but that's our brainwash that we're trying to pull off on every patient. That's and good. We keep a tally. How many self-select fitness that did not 2 months ago? And so that is our big reward for us when we know we did it perfect, is that's when we know they've drank the Kool-Aid of taking on health and making this a complete lifestyle change.
I went out and bought all that stuff down there, but I haven't used it.
Yeah, so that's the problem. So see, we didn't complete the job, man.
I have a rope.
I even got
the big giant rope.
That's awesome.
I did.
Man,
I
it looks good in there, doesn't it?
Yes, it's cool.
How much dust does it have, honey?
Well, my son uses it.
So. Oh, see, yeah. He's a dog. Yeah, he is. He's going to grind.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, it's been a pleasure. We're running up on time here.
Are you ending this?
Well, we have to eventually.
Gosh.
Yeah. We have to eventually.
Mm-hmm. That's reality.
I can't wait for the new mics. When they come in, you invite me back.
It's perfectly good mics.
Yeah. If you want to peer over them.
Yeah. It's been great. I've learned how to look through only my right eye for this entire hour.
I'm sure a lot of people will want to know how to get a hold of you.
That's good.
Probably some people that are, you know, thinking about getting into chiropractic might want to get a hold of you too.
Yeah.
Like, what's the best way for someone to reach out to you guys if they need some kind of care or want to get better at a sport or whatever?
1-800-HELP-ME.
It's almost, pretty close to that. I mean, our office phone number now has a texting service attached to it. That is by far the fastest way to ask the office anything. It goes straight to our manager's devices.
Text your office?
Absolutely. 615-537-5520. Nobody writes that down anymore. This isn't like the 80s on the commercials on the radio. But I will say, you know, activesjc.com is our website. So Active Spine and Joint Center. And if you're on the website, you can easily text from right there. It's got our number. But texting is by far the fastest, because if they need to shoot that one straight to me, it comes straight to me. And that makes that super straightforward. Cool. But that's what I would recommend. You know, the social media platforms are always a thing. I think everybody can get a hold of anybody any way they want to anymore. But the reality is, going through the office makes it the most efficient. If you need a provider in your area, wherever you are, we can easily point you in the right direction.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Of course.
And,
he's changed our lives.
Most definitely. Yeah. So most definitely.
That's not an exaggeration.
Definitely not. No.
I'm bad at compliments, so I'm just going to stay quiet.
Well, thanks for coming.
Awesome.
And we will cut it there, and we'll see you guys next time.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you. Yep.
Well, that's a wrap on today's episode of Behind the Curtain, Nashville's Movers, Shakers,
and Tastemakers.
We hope you've been inspired by the stories of passion, perseverance, and innovation right here in Nashville.
A big thank you to our guests for sharing their journeys, and to you, our listeners, for joining us. And of course, our gratitude to Accord Real Estate for making this conversation possible.
Don't forget to follow or subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform.
Thank us.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I guess I did. Well, thank us. Okay.
Like I was saying.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget to follow or subscribe on your favorite platform to catch every episode, and hit that notification bell. We've got plenty more fascinating guests lined up, ready to share their insights and inspirations.
And we love hearing from you. So reach out to us with your thoughts, questions, or suggestions for who you'd like to hear from next.
Until next time. Keep chasing your dreams and making your mark in Nashville.
Oh, my goodness. Remember, am I talking to Casey
Kasem?
It's
the people behind the scenes that make the city shine.
I love it. Take care. See you behind the curtain.